Well, guys, welcome again. It's another edition of our Z94.3 Classic Album Face-Off. I'm Marco from Marco in the Morning, and Jesse Edwards across the board here with me as we gear up for another round of the Classic Album Face-Off. And today, we're going to have some fun with both side one and two of Fleetwood Mac's Rumours.
Yeah, well, if you put any other one of their album sides up against either of these sides, I really don't think it has a chance. So
you really don't believe Tusk could win? I'm just kidding. No, it's not gonna. That's not gonna happen.
How about The Dance? Wasn't that their live album?
Yeah, matter of fact, it was, and it had three singles: Landslides, Silver Springs, and I'm drawing a blank on the third.
I think it's The Chain.
Okay.
The 11th album from Fleetwood Mac, Rumours. All right, Marco, so before we get started, go ahead and refresh my memory. How does this work?
So here's how it happens. We stack two album sides against each other, and then we score the tracks from one to five, five being the greatest song ever made, the other. Well, way down at number one, well, let's just say that it really could have disappeared and no one would have noticed. That's a kind way of saying
it. Just a big 4 minute track of silence on the album would have been better. All right, so Rumours is the sixth best selling album of all time. Now, that's not surprising, but what did get me is AC/DC's Back in Black actually beat this one. That's the number five best-selling album of all time. I would have thought Rumours would have smoked Back in Black. I mean, they're both great albums, don't get me wrong.
My only theory on that is that people wanted to rock out, apparently. Not so much with the Mac, but that's okay. Fleetwood Mac obviously crossed over, so adult contemporary stations could play it. AC/DC's not going to have that luxury.
Yeah,
but there were metalheads that wanted the Back in Black over Rumours, and you know that's the way it
goes. So either you're listening to active rock radio at the time, or you're just getting the vinyl.
Yeah. And Mick Fleetwood has called Rumours the most important album they ever made.
Well, it's hard to disagree with that. Okay, so their 10th album, the Black and White album, the self-titled album, whatever you want to call it, that, of course, spawned Rhiannon, which really did put this incarnation of Fleetwood Mac on the map. And sure enough, it was the perfect springboard into Rumours. They had so many hits. I mean, we play at least half this album every single day on Z94.3. Go Your Own Way, Dreams, Don't Stop, You Make Love and Fun, Gold Dust Woman as well. I don't remember queuing up The Chain for quite a while, though. I know we play it for A to Z.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So for Rumours, Fleetwood Mac, they decided to get rid of their previous producer because, you know, the two founding members of the band, it's Mick and John, right? They said that there wasn't much emphasis on the rhythm section, and hey, that's them. It's the bass and drums.
Right.
So they canned their old producer, came up with a new company, and I love the name of it. It's classic British humor. Their new company was called
CD Management.
Let's kick things off with the first track on side one of Fleetwood Mac's Rumours. It's Secondhand News, written by Lindsey Buckingham. And of course, you're going to see a theme throughout pretty much every single song on this album. Here we go. Well, Marco, this song really does set the theme for the rest of the album. What do you think about Secondhand News?
I've always loved that song.
You know, it's funny because we were talking earlier about it kind of replaced the doo-wop sounds or the na-na-nas, although Journey brought that back.
Right, yep. And of course, then the Police continued with the do-do-do-da-da-da.
Yes.
As time went on.
It's one of those rock tropes that I don't think ever went away.
I'm not so sure bands were proud of that either necessarily, but we as listeners sang along.
It can cross every single language barrier because you don't need to say any words. I'm sure that's exactly what Sting was thinking when he did, I call it the baby song.
Yeah, many do, yes.
Yeah. You know, Marco, every single track on this album, and of course we're going to get to every single one, it's got its own unique sound, its own unique feeling to it. This one had some Celtic roots.
Yeah, you can hear it near the end, almost the bagpipes you hear in the background almost. It sounds like it.
I actually think that's a guitar, but, you know, Lindsey's a masterful musician. Of course he would know how to make his guitar sound like bagpipes. All right, Secondhand News, give it a score.
Four.
I'm going to go with the three just because I'm not a fan of that.
Okay, the down, 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 yeah. down. That's a poor rendition of it, but you get the hint.
I think that's very accurate, though.
Okay.
All right, well done. We got a four and a three. I got to mark these down. I will forget, and then we're just going to have to make up the numbers at the end. Who wants that?
All right, Jess, let's move on to Dreams Track 2 of Side 1 of Fleetwood Mac's Rumours. When the rain washes you clean, you know.
You know, Marco, something I've never noticed because I've never listened to this album with headphones on is at the very beginning of Dreams, and I'm sure you listeners out there, you already know this. You can hear Stevie humming along. It's really quiet. It's really faint, but it's just one of those little touches that I never noticed before.
And then one other thing, too, I can fact check her on something that she's incorrect on, too.
Uh-oh, you're going to call her out.
Yeah, because there's a line she says, thunder only happens when it's raining.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's not true. There's such a thing. Now, they're not used to it on the West Coast, maybe, but there's such a thing called thunder snow.
Oh, that's right. We know a lot about that here in Michiana. Good old thunder snow. If you're not from the area, if you're listening to the podcast and you're off in sunny Southern California, yes, there is a thing called thunder snow, and it's magical.
Yeah.
Speaking of magical, there's something about this song that's lilting and magical and, dare I say it, dreamy.
Hence the title.
Hence the title. You know, it's great because when apparently Stevie wrote the song and she made a quick little demo of it, it was a three-chord, it still is a three-chord song, but in three distinct sections, you have Lindsey Buckingham completely transforming the song to make it just so much more than it was. Christine McVie, when she first heard it, she says, this is boring. Once you get all these people together, they shine like no other. Like, for example, Lindsey Buckingham on his solo career, it's not really something to be lauded over. Even Stevie Nicks, as much success as she's had, she's never been better than she is with this band here.
Absolutely.
You know, I feel as though we're going to be hearing this number a lot over the course of this album, but Dreams is a solid 5 for me.
I agree. Me too.
Moving on to track 3, and I think the band is going to go ahead and strip it down to bare essentials for this one. It is Never Going Back Again.
Well, Jess, there you go. Never Going Back Again. And here we go again. Another breakup song between Lindsey and Stevie.
Surprise.
Yeah. How they functioned in that band sometimes amazes me.
I've heard it had a lot to do with Angel Dust.
Creatively had to be difficult. Or even on stage performing those songs, for example.
Oh, we're going to get to that later. I made some notes for that. But
good.
At the studio these guys recorded at, it's called the Record Plant, the owner said that Fleetwood Mac was excess at the most excessive. They would come in at 7 o'clock at night, have a big feast, and then party till 2 a.m. And then after they've done so much coke, then they'd start recording.
Wow.
I can't imagine keeping that lifestyle up. And of course, they didn't. I mean, I think every single one of them crashed and burned at least once before they sorted themselves out.
Well, so I'm kind of wondering in the manner of all this, too, because they're renting studio time, I assume, for this. So while feasting, while indulging in other things, I imagine they're racking up a bill.
Oh, they're just burning cash.
Yeah. Which really, when rumors came out, no problem paying the bill.
Well, yeah, that was
or fine. Or prior, even.
On the heels of their 10th album, they had one big hit on that one.
Yeah, right.
And apparently that was enough for the record company to really toss the dice on this band. It paid off. Paid off. Doesn't always. So Never Going Back Again, very simple song. We have vocals, some backup vocals, probably a couple different guitar tracks. What's interesting about this, at least to my ears, this acoustic guitar is so bright, which means that the strings sound extra super crisp. And after reading into it, I found out why. The producer asked Lindsey Buckingham if they could restring his guitar every 20 minutes with brand new strings so it remained super crisp and bright. Now, I can tell you, having strung my fair share of acoustic guitars, that's a pain in the patoot. And Lindsey knew that. So what do? They hired some poor roadie to change strings 3 times an hour for the entire day. That is grueling.
So I wonder if he was paid in cash or paid in other ways.
I'm going to go ahead and say both.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah. Come join us. Come join
there's,
us.
There's a stack of cash here and a few lines of go fast over there. Despite this being a breakup song, these guys really perfected the art of it, and I like this one a lot. You said you hadn't heard it before.
No, I had not.
It's a short little ditty, just clocking in over 2 minutes. I'll give it a 4. What about you?
I'm going 3 on it.
Okay, fair enough.
And on we go, side 1 of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. Next up, Jess, Don't Stop. Literally, keep it going.
Don't Stop. It is the first optimistic song on this album.
Yeah, Christine McVie seemed to have a different outlook on it, as she kind of phrases herself as not a pessimist after the breakup from Fleetwood Mac's bassist John McVie after 8 years of marriage. So sure, her outlook on life at that point was not pessimistic, which is great.
No, I mean, it's obvious that she's looking towards the future. She says that this might have been about John, but she doesn't really see it that way. And I like Don't Stop. It's got a really uplifting message, something that this album sorely needed by track four. Don't Stop came at just the right time. Was this the first single off this album?
No, actually, Go Your Own Way was.
That's a powerful song. We're going to get to that one. And, well, actually, that one's next. I don't want to wait. All right, let's give the Don't Stop a score real quick here. Marco.
5. 4.
I'll tell you what, this album, besides shaping up to be pretty strong, let's see what the future holds for us. It's Go Your Own Way, track 5 off of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, side 1. You can go your own way.
And there you go. Go Your Own Way. One of 3 songs from the band on this album that actually cracked the top 10.
3 songs, 1 album, top 10 hits, all of them.
Right.
That's amazing. But of course, it's Lindsey again being completely devastated when Stevie Nicks took off, he says. And he said that he still had to remain professional in the studio, which we talked about earlier.
Sure.
Probably aided by some illicitness. He still had to work with the woman. He still had to make hits for her. It's not just like, oh, I'll do your laundry or I'll make you a sandwich. No, you have to write the best music of your life for this woman who apparently in this song has done you dirty.
And then imagine going out and performing it live too on the road eventually.
Oh yeah.
Each night or after a show, you either are gathered with bandmates or you go your own separate way there even. I just can't imagine what that was like.
Stevie, in the studio before they recorded this song, of course, there's that line, packing up, shacking up's all you want to do.
Right.
She was pissed. She was so mad. She demanded that it got cut from the song. Lindsey stood his ground, of course, and every single show, every single live show thereafter, knowing it was for her. And she said every single time those words came up on stage, she wanted to cross the stage, throttle Lindsey, just kill him. And he knew it.
I wonder if he ever smiled at her.
That's some puerile, petty awesomeness. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the fireworks that were going off backstage. And the one thing that gets me about this song, I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing. I just find it interesting, is that you have Mick Fleetwood behind a drum kit, and it's a loud song. It's a banger, and he's pounding on these drums. And what is the loudest bit of percussion in this whole song?
The maracas.
It's the maracas.
They're getting down, man.
Marco's dancing in the corner here. This is hilarious. We should turn this podcast into something that we film.
No, we shouldn't.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir.
Lack of rhythm on the other side of the board here prevents that from happening.
All right. We're laying down scores for Go Your Own Way. Marco, what say you?
I say 5 on this one. He's pausing now.
I wish I could give, you know what? I'm going to break the rules. 4.5.
Ooh.
That's going to be the deciding decimal point in this whole classic album face-off escapade, by the way. That 0.5 is going to ruin everything for everyone. You have my condolences. Sorry, not sorry. Coming up, it's Songbird, the closing track off of side 1 of Rumors. Do you? I'll never be cold. Marco, I feel like this one is purely for the ladies. I know my wife loves this album a lot, and I know that she knows Songbird. And both you and I, we've never heard this song.
No,
before.
I have not, no.
Probably because we're dudes.
Yep. And because it wasn't released as a single.
No, it was a B-side, though.
Right, of Dreams, yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, Dreams, I could listen to that song probably a dozen times a day. I'll make it through about 30 seconds of Songbird before I go to sleep. This is going to be the lowest scoring track on the entire album, in my opinion. And Songbird, for me, gets a 2.
Well, I'm not going to do much higher. I'll go 3.
Okay. Charitable Marco, as ever. This wraps up side 1 of Rumors. We'll see how it stacks up against side 2. And just to remind you, the classic album Face Off and how we operate here, we take 2 different album sides by the same artist. We'll share our thoughts as we play you snippets of the songs, and we score the tracks from 1 to 5, 5 being the greatest song ever. Apparently, we have a couple greatest songs ever already, and 1 being a dumpster fire, which we don't have any, and I don't think we're going to get any on this entire album. At the end, we put them all together, and we let you know which one's the winner. And of course, that 4.5 on Go Your Own Way is going to completely screw this up.
So when you hear the results, everybody, if it really makes you angry, you know who to yell at about.
Marco.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can yell at Marco.
I'm the one that was cheering on the maracas and dancing a while ago.
That's true enough. Okay.
On to side 2 we go.
First track on side 2 was not released as a single, which is confounding because I know radio over the decades has played the heck out of this song. It is
The Chain.
Yeah, Marco, I'm a sucker for epics. This is one of the most epic songs ever.
Yeah. You were discussing for a second. It's like two songs.
Well, it is two songs. Actually, it's three songs. Apparently, this is the only track, I think, in all of Fleetwood Mac's history. I may be wrong on a couple of them here, but where every single band member got songwriting credit for it because it was an old Christine McVie song that they chopped up and used parts of. It was a Buckingham Nicks song that they chopped up and used parts of. And the end, the outro, was something that Fleetwood and McVie, John, had jammed out like years ago. And so they took some razor to the tape, spliced it all together, and then you have the chain. This song's amazing. Five.
I feel the same way about it. And in reference to the razor blade, for those of us who have been in this industry for a long time, that's how we used to edit. It was called editing tape. Same scenario. Some were very good at it, and when I first started out, I wasn't. Because it was actually on its way out. We were starting to head towards a digital computer usage. So.
And thank the maker for that.
Absolutely.
It's so much easier. I mean, heck, everyone's doing it these days.
Sure.
You can edit without a razor blade. I mean, you could try, but not doing yourself any favors. All right, so we've laid down our score for the chain. It was an obvious five. It wasn't going to get anything else. Next up, we got You Make Love and Fun.
Okay, my first question, as I've learned about the song a little bit besides listening to it, Jess, is how is this song about her dog?
Well, for, you know, it's not.
Right.
She just said that to the band so her ex-husband, John, wouldn't get mad at her.
Because she was having a little on-the-side fun with their lighting director.
Yeah, their lighting director, Curry Grant, that's right. So you find it incredulous that John McVie would ever buy the story that this song's about her dog, right?
Right.
Have you met any bassists?
No.
There you go. If you're a bassist out there, I'm sorry, just pretend I said drummer instead. What I really dig about this track, Marco, is that keyboard is really about as funky as Fleetwood Mac ever gets. Even though the drums are played incredibly straight, that keyboard, it's really fun.
Yeah, and I will say, I got to score this higher. Being a pet lover, maybe I should score a little higher than I initially thought.
Just because it's about the dog.
The dog, supposedly.
Oh, you know, I'm wondering if Christine McVie was actually poking fun at John in this case. Maybe she's calling him a dog. I'm sure John McVie had a couple side pieces as well. So.
Oh, I imagine, yeah.
All right, so you said you're going to score this one a little higher just for the pet reference. What do you got there, Marco?
I'm going to go 4.5, too.
Ah!
Huh, somebody else cheated, why not me?
Oh, man, that's some initiative right there. I'll give this one 4.2.
A 0.2? What in the hell? This is really going to get out of whack now. No, carry on, 4.2. Don't change it now. Not allowed to. You heard that, everybody. 4.2. We'll hold them to it.
It just reminds me of that show, Whose Line Is It Anyway, when Drew Carey, when he states the rules, what is it, that the lines are made up and the points don't matter?
Right.
Oh, that's kind of what we're doing here, everybody. Sorry. We are at the midway point of side two of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors for the classic album Face Off. Track three is I Don't Want to Know.
So there you go. I Don't Want to Know. Side two of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. Song number three from the album as well. And the first thing I thought of is that it almost has a, in my opinion, Jess, could be a country-ish sound from the band a little bit.
This is very country western.
Yeah, and just a hair.
Of course. What's the loudest thing on this track that you're
clapping
heard?
Hands.
Yes. But I liked them. I liked them. Songs where they have hand claps throughout the entire thing get really annoying, but here they just keep it to one little section. It's like second and a half long. It's fun. This is a Stevie Nicks song that, much to my wife's chagrin, replaced Silver Springs on this album. Silver Springs, I think, is good old Mrs. Edwards' favorite Fleetwood Mac song.
Is it?
Yeah. And it was released as a B-side to Go Your Own Way, which, Marco, what do you think about that?
I'm sort of fascinated because generally when a group would release a B-side, it wasn't necessarily a hit. So
Silver Springs got airtime, though.
Eventually.
Yeah, I think it took a while to catch on, but
makes you wonder if it was one of those where some DJ late at night was just said, oh, it's going to sound like the B-side and put it on.
Like, I don't feel like looking for a new album. Let's just flip this one over.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing this song, so I'm going to flip it over and see what happens. Maybe that's exactly what happened.
Could be. And of course, we have Nicks and Buckingham doing like a dual lead vocal on this, and it sounded great. I love the harmonies these two had on this, really the entire album, but it really made sense why they were such a good duo musically even before Fleetwood Mac. All right, so can we call a truce?
Sure.
On the decimals?
Will you actually keep it a solid number now?
Yes, I will. Right. I promise. I'll give this one a 3. And that's only because of the hand claps. What do you think?
I think a 3 is fair, too. I don't think it's strong enough for a 4, in my opinion.
Okay, so Marco gives it a 3, and I'll give it a 3 1/3 repeating. I'm kidding.
Here we go already.
All right, this next song. These days, I would look at the title, and I would hear the lyrics, and I would be a little creeped out by it. Maybe it was different in the 70s. I don't know. It's Oh Daddy. Well, for whatever I can say about the lyrics or even the title of the song, I love the music in this track. It just, I wish I could get an instrumental version of it.
Right. Here we are, you know, talking about it while it was playing, and I don't get it. This does nothing for me. I'll already tell you that.
Yeah.
It's creepy in its own way.
It is creepy in its own way, and it's about apparently Christine McVie writing from the perspective of Mick Fleetwood's wife. How much knowledge does she have into the... I guess we'll call it the intimate relationship between Mick and his squeeze. I don't know. When you're a band like this, I guess you spend a lot of time together.
Right. Yeah. The tour bus is small to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I'll go first on this one if you want.
Yeah, please.
No more than a 2.
None more than a 2.
No. Nope.
I concur.
Okay.
If this were an instrumental, I'd at least give it a 3, but I need to rinse my mouth out.
All right, Jess, coming to the end very soon, because here we go with Fleetwood Mac Rumors Side 2, final track, which is track 5, Gold Dust Woman. Did she make you cry, make you break down, shatter your illusions of love? And there you go, Gold Dust Woman, Side 2 of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, track 5. When you hear the term gold dust, you may wonder what they're talking about, and no surprise with this band, a metaphor for cocaine.
Surprise.
Yeah.
It's amazing that we finally get a Stevie Nicks song that isn't about Lindsay.
Right. In fact, she goes on to say that it wasn't that everybody was buying it was just around.
Yeah, can you imagine you're just that successful, and you just turn your heads like, oh, look, there's another brick. Someone was buying it.
Well, yeah, imagine maybe it was even management to some extent, just having it on hand to help motivate them and creatively motivate them even.
That happened a lot. Gold Dust Woman. This song kind of meanders towards the end, but it's good. It's dark. It's haunting. I like it a lot more than Oh Daddy. I'll go first on Gold Dust Woman and give it a 4. I almost want to give it a 5 if they just tightened up the end where it wasn't just Stevie reciting Celtic rhymes or whatever she does. 4 for me. Marco, what do you say?
I'm going to be extra kind. Go 5 for me.
It's deserving of a 5.
It's a, yeah, great song.
All right, time to do the math.
2,000 years later.
Wow, Marco, this one got really close, and I probably have to admit that I think our decimals really mucked with the system here. Now, before I tell you who came out on top, what do you think? Side 1 or side 2? I mean, it could go either way.
At first glance, let me do that. Let me look at both. I'm going to go with side 1 winning.
You're right. Side 1 won by 0.09.
Wow.
I know. We have almost a 4 and then a little less than almost a 4 for side 2. So side 1 is the winner. And I think the big tracks here, of course, Dreams, Don't Stop, Go Your Own Way.
Right.
Oh Daddy tanked side 2. Thank you for joining us for the Z94.3 Classic Album Face Off. We hope to have another episode for you next week, and who knows what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Marco, do you have any ideas?
No. Yeah, there's so many great artists we play and so many classic albums that you got to bear with us a bit, because we really do our best in trying to come up with a couple that are just perfect for it.
You know what we should do? How about some live albums?
Okay.
That sounds fun. Bob Seger, how many does he have out?
2.
2 live albums?
9 Tonight and Live Bullet. I checked on that already because I'm a huge Seger fan.
Let's do it.
Okay. There you go. Now you know what's coming next.
Bob Seger, 9 Tonight and Bullet.
Live Bullet.
Live Bullet. Coming at you for the next classic album, Face Off. Thanks again, everybody. He's Marco. I'm Jesse Edwards. Peace and love for you from us at Z94.3. Because they're stupid.
Oh, are they? Okay. Are they really? I mean, is that...
No,
I was going to say, what?
That's just the joke, is that...
Okay. Is it like a band joke? People... Well, are you just...
Yeah, the band joke is that your bassist is slow and your drummer's stupid.
Okay. I never knew that.
That's all right.
Oh, that's really funny. I never heard that before.
Okay, so, for example, here's a quick one. How can you tell if the stage is level? If the drummer's drooling out both sides of his mouth. There's so many of these.
I never knew that, man. That's wild. That's funny.